Hey, welcome to NAV Church Online. We are so happy you're tuning in to be a part of our broadcast this Sunday morning. Possibly you're catching us afterwards. Regardless what it is, we're happy that you're here with us. Now, my goal is for you to turn this off in the first 30 seconds. Ready for it? Here it is. Today, we're going to talk about evangelism. I know, right then, you want to stop it. But just trust me, let's talk about it for a little bit. I want to get into the conversation of, could we say this, mercying someone else. It's interesting sometimes how words have power. And even though everything we're going to be talking about, I'm going to say it again, is evangelism, I think sometimes we have the wrong premise of what that's all about. So in just a minute, we're going to continue our conversation of Miracle of Mercy. We're going to be in our workbook on page 128. But here's what I'd like to do first. If you have not been a part of this conversation, go to your app store, go to Google Play, download our app, and you'll be able to follow along right here with us. The sermon notes have been provided. As well as, I want to know where you are today. A lot of you have been tuning in. Just either, you don't even have to tell us where you're at. Just say hello right now, type away, click that heart button. And if you're so inclined, hit the share button right now, start a watch party, get other people tuning into what you're talking about. So here's what I need to do. We are finishing up a conversation on the miracles of mercy. This is our 40-day campaign. Some of you have done an amazing job. I've been hearing from the NAV groups a lot of feedback about this because there was a perception that when we were going to talk about miracle of mercies, this was all of us just needing to be more intentional doing good deeds in the world around us. But what we found is this conversation has been a lot more about you than you helping other people. And it's been a great feedback because so often we forget that if we don't check ourselves, we won't worry about checking on other people. And so this has been an amazing conversation, checking on ourselves, talking about relationships, how to deal with hostile people, when you're in relational ruts, how do we get out of those things? And so it's been a great conversation of how to actually, who you are in dealing with other people. And when we talk about today's conversation, I think you're going to see a lot of those similar type things. It's really a check about our heart attitude. But the amazing thing is that usually when we check on ourselves, and we start getting right with God, somehow this vertical relationship makes us want to confirm that our horizontal relationships are in a healthy way. And so we're going to talk about that and love how this campaign has been digging deep. So even this next week, as you meet on your NAV groups, we normally say find one and go. This week I'll say this, find one and Zoom. All of our NAV groups have been meeting just online through Zoom telephone calls. It's not too late for you to still get connected with one of them. But as we start talking about this, you should know this. One of the reasons we use this campaign, one of the reasons we are doing Miracles of Mercies is because next week is Easter. And this week we had, it was beautiful. You guys would have loved it. You would have shown up and we had these little cards printed out that we were going to hand to you. And here's a fancy term for them. They're touch cards. So you'd be able to go out and hand them to people and invite them to church and all that type of stuff. But life, as you know it, has thrown all of us a curveball. Now, I will say, for the church not to be able to use a few hundred touch cards to encourage you to invite people to church is a lot different than probably what you're going through right now. This past week, we heard announcements of record-setting people filing for unemployment. And so I just actually want to start right now, right here at the beginning, praying for you. Because I believe in this difficult time that you are facing, God can mercy you here. God can come through in ways that you never saw coming. God could put you on a different path that you didn't even know that was available. God could actually find a heart that's been bound up inside of you to actually for you to eventually find the true expression of what you were created for. And sometimes, I know you don't want to hear this, and I know this can be very difficult to understand on the front side of a trial, but through your trial is where you go through a test, and after you get your test is where you get a testimony. But on the front side, I can say this, sometimes God uses bad situations to bring about good things. So I'm just going to start right now, this time I have with you, these few short minutes to say this. Dear Heavenly Father, there are people across this nation. Lord, they're in a multitude of places. The first, they could actually be having a fever, with a cough, difficult breathing, with fear trying to grip their mind, saying, you have this virus. What am I going to do? Should I go to the hospital? Do I try to fight this myself? God, I ask for you to mercy them with healing right now. There's some of us that have close personal friends and family members that are police officers, first responders, even nurses and doctors, that if we could say this is on the front line of the situation, God, we pray for them right now and encourage them, but we also surround them. We cover them, Holy Spirit. We cover them with our prayers in order to actually fight off every advancement this disease or the enemy would try to get on their lives. There's those that are out of work that don't know how to actually pay their next bill. Unfortunately, so many of us in society live paycheck to paycheck. And God, when the last one didn't show up, we don't know how we're going to make it to the next week. Holy Spirit, mercy them. I pray for the heart of every Christian out there to expand, every entrepreneur, every person that has that philanthropical spirit upon them. Lord, I pray for generosity to pour out now, but not to empty causes, but into lives. The one thing we learned about the mercy is this, God, that mercy gets your hands dirty. God, help us find those that are down and wounded, and help us get our hands dirty by lifting them up. Holy Spirit, we ask for every person hurting today, right there in their living room, watching on their car, sitting with a phone in their hand, may they feel the presence of your merciful Spirit upon them. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. I know it's a little different way to start this morning, but I'd have to say this to you. We're in different times. And being in different times, guess what? We can throw out the rule book. We can throw out how we do church as normal. And if you tuning in today and say, man, that dude just prayed a long time, welcome to Navigation Church, where we believe in prayer. You know, a deist is actually someone who believes that God started the world, spun it, and walked away. So if you never talk to him, but you say you're a follower of Christ, you're actually more of a deist. Followers of Christ not only pray to God, but we believe something amazing happens. We believe that we can touch a spirit realm that brings heaven into earth. And when your earth feels like hell, heaven is the best place to reach out for. So we're so glad that you're tuning in, so glad that you're watching us. And here's what I want to say. Today, the conversation that we need to have is mercying people that are lost. Now, even just saying that, what does that mean, lost? Like, their MapQuest isn't working on their phone, they don't have cell signal, and we need to point out to them. No, people that inside their life feels pointless. They don't know why they were created. They've been doing and filling their life with so many things other than what is the most valuable thing, and that is a relationship with a Heavenly Father, a Savior that died for them. And actually, one way that I've heard it said is the most important thing for a Christian to do is help people not go to hell. Man, is that's like punch you in the mouth type statement, and not normally something this strong that we would say. But the reason we were having this conversation leading up into Easter is next week is the week that our Lord has been risen. It's this coming Friday. You can tune into our broadcast at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, where we're going to be having a Good Friday service where we remember that our Savior was brutally killed and put into a grave, but the next 3 days later, he came out of the grave to prove that he's alive for other people. And since then, it's been the greatest game of telephone in human history. We haven't got the message wrong. He is risen. And by the way, here's something cheesy. We'll do it next week. It's fantastic. I absolutely love doing it. Anytime you hear someone say, he is risen, you respond back with, he is risen indeed. Did you hear him? I heard him. We'll do it one more time. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
And the greatest thing to do is to tell someone else about them. But here's the thing. So I said the word evangelism earlier. Don't stop it yet. Keep watching. Because here's the thing. We think of evangelism, maybe if you're really old school, see if this doesn't sound familiar. You're going to get a pile of tracts that tells people about like this hell on this side, this heaven on this side. You know, do you want a pitchfork in your butt over here or do you want a harp in your hand over here, right? Like it's just these really cheesy graphics that we had back in the day. And you would then go out in groups and usually you went what? two by two, and you went and knocked on doors, and the only thing you were missing was a white button-up shirt and a bicycle, right? So you're knocking on doors, and you're going side by side, and you're like, hi, do you have a relationship with God? I'm an atheist. You're the guy I'm supposed to talk to. And then you shove the flyer in there like that flyer was going to save them, and it never did, or it might have did, but most of the time it didn't, right? That's evangelism. You go hardcore. You're knocking on doors. You're telling people all the time. I was actually at an event one time, and I'm going to get in trouble for telling this story, but it was fantastic. People are shaking their head no, but I'm not looking at them. I'm looking at you. The guy was walking down the street with a goat, and I promise this is the true story. And he was walking down the street with the goat, and when people would say, why do you have a goat? He would say, because you're a goat, but I'm a sheep. Do you want to be a sheep? Which there was a hotline that we could call. And here's what was great. When people found out that this guy was doing it, everyone came to me to go kind of just say, hey, dude, we don't want your goat here. And they thought that I would bring like this spiritual revelation to him. And I couldn't help but laugh because here's the thing. If that's what he felt called to, you go for it. But that's not the evangelism that we're talking about. The type of evangelism we talk about, and here's a scripture for you. It's out of 1 Peter 3:15. It says, always prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you the reason for you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But this you do with gentleness and respect. So often with evangelism, we think we have to give the defense for the theology that we have. We have to give the biblical reason by anybody's, if they give an example of here's what the Bible says and what do you think about this? And here's what the scripture says. The only thing you need to do to be an effective evangelist, and I know I keep using that word, but I want you to know that word. It's one of the five gifts that God put in this earth for us to have. Spiritual gift, apostles, prophets, evangelists, teachers, and preachers. It's because it says this, the only thing you need to share the love of Jesus with someone is your story. That's it. Your story of coming in a pastor's basement because he had a broken water line and your life is forever changed. Your story because you met a pastor on a soccer field and your life went downhill, but then after you got out, you found a different hope. The story of your life of being an alcoholic in the bars, ruining your marriage, but one person reached out to you and it was enough. The only thing you need to be the most effective evangelist in this world, it isn't to have Billy Graham's stage. It doesn't have to have books written or flyers printed out. It's one thing. It's your story. That's the defense of my faith. That's the hope that's within inside of me. The hope of a son who grew up in church because his mom and dad were pastors, but there was a day that I wasn't sure if I was staying in church or if I was going to take a path of a loved one that I had, and God decided to shine his affection down upon me. That's how I know he's real. That when I was in the darkest place of my life, I had friends and family and loved one that didn't care about reputation, didn't care about title. They just wanted to see me restored. And it was based off of a scripture. Restore, brother. And it's similar to this, with gentleness and respect. The only thing you need to share with other people is your story. So if you don't have a story, today's going to be the day that you receive it. But if you do have a story, I want to talk to you about kind of the, if I can say, some lessons that we need to have, or here's the way we're saying, five ways that you can be effective in sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so if you have your book, feel free to turn to page 128. If you download our app, look under the sermon notes. Feel free to just even look up Luke chapter 5, verse 17 through 26. And we're going to read from the Message version. And it says this, one day as Jesus was teaching, Pharisees and religious teachers were sitting around. The healing power of God was on him being Jesus. And some men arrived carrying a paralytic man on a stretcher. They were looking for a way to get into the house and set him before Jesus. When they couldn't find a way because of the crowd, let's just pause there. So picture this. Don't picture a church building like you know now. There was no stained glass. There was no steeple. There was no cross out top. This was a house. This was a resident. very similar to probably what you're watching us from right now. It wasn't until later days that we all felt like we had to jam in houses. Jesus even went house to house. And so these guys showed up with a blanket, paralyzed friend, and then we'll talk about how many and who and all that in just a little bit. And as they're getting to the front door, they realize the house party became a front yard party. And so then they went to the side, and there was a side yard party. Not sure if that term even exists. I'm making it up right now. If you like that term, say amen right now on your keyboards. Like, give me a little help here. And they went to the back. They went to the front. There were so many people pushed into the house, looking through the windows and doors. They knew that they weren't going to be able to get to Jesus. So what did they do? They went up on the roof. They removed some tiles, and they let him down in the middle of everyone, right in front of Jesus. If you've ever seen Mission Impossible 1, Tom Cruise with a strap to his back, dropping him into the safe. This is what you got to picture. Dot, 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 right? So all of a sudden, out of nowhere, Jesus comes right in front of him. This guy comes dropping down, and impressed by their bold belief, he said, "Friend, I forgive you of your sins." Oh, man, this set the religious scholars and Pharisees buzzing. It hacked them off, ticked them off. They were fired up. And what does he think he is? This is blasphemous talk. God and only God can forgive sins. And Jesus knew exactly what they were thinking. And he said, "Hey, why y'all running your mouths?" That's not the way it said it here, but that's the way we need to say it in 2000, right? Like, you guys are all fronting over there, right? Which is simpler, to say, "I forgive your sins," or to say, "Get up and start walking"? Well, just so it's clear that I am the Son of Man and authorized to do either or both. There is no greater trash talker in the history of the world than Jesus Christ. I'm just going to go ahead and throw that out right now, because not only could he say it, he backed it up every single time. He said, now he spoke directly to the paralyzed man. He said, "Get up, take your bedroll and go home." And without a moment's hesitation, he did it. He got up, he took his blanket, he left for home, giving glory to God all the way. The people rubbed their eyes and they were just like, "We got to give God glory for this." Awestruck, they said, "We've never seen anything like this." Luke 5:17-26. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to talk about the five ways that you as an individual, but I'm going to broaden it. Five ways you as a NAV group, you as a small group, you as the men's group, women's group, WIC group, whatever, merge group, any group that you're a part of, here's how a group, and it's very important to hear it this way, because we always say this when it comes to your growth in a relationship with Jesus Christ, it's not a solo sport. So when it comes, I'm going to say the word again, I can't believe I'm going to say it. When it comes to evangelism, when it comes to witnessing, when it comes to sharing your story, your testimony, it isn't a solo sport. We do this as the body of Christ, because guess what? If it's always one person, they could get a whole lot of glory. But I promise you this, there's only one person that saves. So we do this. And so we're going to talk about the five ways to care for the lost. And the first fill in the blank that you have there on page 129 is this: the principle of compassion. Well, how can I just say that these people had the principle of compassion? They carried their broken friend on a mat to Jesus. They were concerned for their hurting friend. And so here's what I'm going to say, and I've tried to figure out the best way to give you this analogy, because I'm not trying to devalue one in order to build up another. But there is a huge difference between the grocery store passerby tell someone about Jesus and the PTA neighbor relative talk about Jesus. And I hope you hear what I'm saying. One's not bad, one's not right, but I will say this. I've heard a lot of people over time come up and go, "Man, I invited someone to church." "Really?" "Yeah, I was passing by the produce aisle, and I just said, 'You need to come to our church. It's awesome.'" And I'll be honest with you, I don't see a lot of people coming to church because of a drive-by invitation. And again, I'm not saying it's wrong, and I'm not saying to stop doing it. Please hear my heart on this. I am going to tell you this, though. I can tell you the hundreds, if not thousands, of stories that I know of an individual coming to me saying, I talked to my grandson, I talked to my neighbor, I met this person in PTO, this is another soccer coach of me. They told me about a situation and I was intimately involved in their life, being a friend to them despite that they're not a Christian. I was close to them, I was in relationship with them, and guess what? My heart was compassionate towards them and I had a chance to tell them why I have hope where they don't. And it starts because of a close relationship. It starts because you are compassionate to them. Love opens the door for us to share Christ. There's an old Zig Ziglar famous phrase, they don't care how much you know till they know how much you care. And here's the thing, if you're just telling everyone, but you could be indifferent to who they are as an individual and what they're going through right now. It's why we started this program praying for the corona, for COVID-19 and those that are hurting. We care for you. We're aware of where you're at. If you tuned in right now and you're like, listen, this sermon has nothing to do with the life that I'm living, why would you want to keep watching? The thing about Jesus, he always was aware of the personal need and the spiritual brokenness and the psyche that people were dealing with in the moment. We have to let people know that we care. And let me just say it like this, out of Romans 15, verse 2. We should always be concerned about our neighbor and the good things that will build our faith. So here we go. I have a practical thought for you and a problem thought for you to deal with. Practical. Hang out with people who are not saved. Put yourself in a place where you're around unbelievers. Now, use wisdom here. I actually threw this thought out today with a few of the staff. We were nearby, within 6 feet of each other. And we were talking about this, and we if people don't use wisdom, it could put them in a bad place. So here's a very far out example. If you are a single man, you probably shouldn't start a ministry to a place where women go to entertain other men. Can I leave it PG? I know you're home with your family right now. I would say that was bad. If you are someone who deals with alcoholism, you probably shouldn't start a ministry to bars. Right? If you've had a problem with divorce and being faithful, you probably shouldn't start a marriage where single people come and hear how great marriage is. Right? So put yourself in. Get involved with the PTA, get involved with your school, get involved with local sports, get involved with your Rotary Club, your Chamber, your Lions, your whatever. Get involved, get yourself out. Because here's the problem. That's your practical thought, but here's the problem that happens. Ready for this? This is so true. I know you guys are going to want to say amen. If you're out there, you can say amen on your little keyboard right now. Ready for this? The longer you're a Christian and the longer you go to church, the fewer friends that you have that aren't saved. It just happens. And by the way, it's not a bad thing. You just start building your world in a different place. But what we can't do is we can't build our world with only like-minded people. Because the greatest mission that we Christians have is to mercy people with the gift of salvation. And we do that because we get involved with someone's life and we have compassion for them. And it's not for us to put another check in a box saying we brought someone else to church and we got someone saved. It's you're putting a check next to a box of this is the person I pray God shines his face down upon. And so we have the first one, the principle of compassion. The second one on page 129, the principle of cooperation. I said it before this. This is not a solo sport. You know, I've always wondered, it says that some men brought him. Some being what? Two? I think they would, use the word couple probably. Some. If it's a mat, is there one on each corner? That would make sense to me. One on each corner, because everyone grab it and they start hauling. But what happens, because we're thinking in our mind that this is a little village and they just went, what if they had to go 10 miles? Do you think it's possible for four guys with grip strength on a mat carry someone 10 miles, let's say this, through the heat of the day? So was it four? Was it six? Was it eight? I can tell you this. Have no idea. The Bible doesn't say, but it says this, that there was a group that was concerned about an individual. And one of the most effective forms of reaching the lost is knowing that you're not doing it by yourself. Because when you feel like you have to do it by yourself, all the pressure is on you to say it right every time to one person till they get it, get them in the right church, get them with the right group, and you're scared to death if the wrong person says the wrong thing, they flee. If you have a constant fear of, oh, if they hear this, oh, if they talk to this person, I would say this, you've made it too much of a solo sport. Because the one thing I'll promise every Christian will do, we're going to say the wrong thing at one time. You know why? And I know this is going to blow you guys away, because we're people. And I know, right? It, like, if you find a person that has never said something wrong, then you're lying to yourself. Because we all do it. And the thought that we can take this massive book with an eternal God and every temporal sentence that we say, we get it right every time, we're fooling ourselves. We're absolutely fooling ourselves. But here's the exciting news. It's out of 1 Corinthians 3, and it's a little longer scripture. Stay with me on this. After all, who is Apollos? Who is Paul? We are only God's servants through whom you believe the good news. Each of us did the work that the Lord gave us in the season, in the moment, in a time period. God had assignment for one of these people, and all they did was the thing that they were supposed to do that only they could do. See, I planted the seed that went in your heart. Apollos watered it, but it was God who made it grow. Man, that right there, that sentence right there should take all pressure off of us. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to be compassionate. I'm going to be caring. I'm going to be merciful. I'm going to tell people. I'm going to encourage people. But as far as their response to who God is, there's one person in control of that, God. It says, it goes on to say this, it's not important who does the watering and who does the planting. What's important is that God makes the seed grow. The one who plants and the one who water work together for the same purpose, and both will be rewarded for their own part. So here's the practical for you, just a thought I'm going to throw out. Do your part, wherever you are. I'm sorry that this one can't be more kind of granular. This can't be more hands-on for you to do immediately. But the fact is, when you're in a conversation and you feel like the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, going, say this, do this, encourage this, just do your part. But here's the problem. We feel the pressure to do it all. And so we have to figure out a way to realize that we are not the saving grace. We are not someone's all-in-all answer. We're not the one that's going to take them from planting a seed to watering the seed to growing the tree to pruning the tree to replanting the tree. What if we did this? What if we took this thought? I'm going to help someone take their next step in a growing relationship with Jesus. And we just boil it down to that. I actually, personally, do you guys agree with that? If you agree that that seems a little more practical, just give me another amen, hit a heart button, send them flying up through your Facebook screen right now, that our job is just to help people take the next step in a growing relationship with Jesus Christ, because we don't know where their path is, we don't know where their journey ends, but we know that in this moment, we can mercy them with something. And then, oh, this one's so excited. I would say of all the points that I'm ready to make tonight, or this morning, is simply this. This one here is the principle of faith, page 130. Do you believe that the person you've been thinking about praying for that's on your heart, do you actually believe that they can be saved? Do you believe that no one anywhere under any circumstances beyond the reach of the gospel? And here's what's happening right now. All of us, through our little Christian hat on, all of us put this little Bible in our pocket, and we did this. We went, absolutely. Really? See, if I'm honest, there are some people that I know that I think maybe they are too far. You know why? I've done a heck of a lot of seed throwing. I've done a ton of watering. And the only thing I see is hit dirt and rock and clay. There's some people, and you may know someone like this, that they are a great family. And you just say to yourself, why don't they just love Jesus? Like, just, but yet their world seems to be fine. And every time you talk to them, it seems to even be better than yours. So you don't even know the sales pitch to give them. And so you're like, hey, love Jesus. And it feels like you take seed and like overhand throw it at their face. Did anything stick? And then you have, for me personally, you have loved ones that you care. You don't know what else you can do to seed or water. And when you think there's a chance they're not spending eternity with you, life loses its meaning. And so if I were to ask you the question, do you have the faith that no one anywhere under any circumstances beyond the reach of the gospel, can you as aggressively as you did earlier say yes? And so right now it's like, man, Pastor, no, there's people God can't reach. Well, hang on a second, I'm not done. Because then I start thinking, I remember when I said that about him. And I remember when I said it about her. And I remember when I said it about this family, that the most jacked up family. By the way, if you don't know, this place is pretty much empty, so I'm not pointing to anybody. But I can tell you the marriage that it was off, he was on, she came back, he left, he came back, she left. They were, oh, the marriage is gone, the relationship is gone, Jesus is gone. And now they look like a family of perfect health with kids and a vibrant part of a local body of Christ. You know what happens is the enemy can come in and start attacking our faith, because if we don't have faith in the seed that's in our hand, we will stop sowing. So here's what we have to do. Look over your shoulder to the orchard that has been planted before you, of the most unlikely people to come to know God. And guess what? All of a sudden, faith starts building back up again. That this seed that I have in my hand, there have been governments that have tried to destroy it. There have been cults that try to overtake it. There have been armies that literally raged against it. But the one thing they could never do was stop the effectiveness of this seed. And it's this truth of Jesus Christ. And God so loved the world. I know you know the scripture. It's not in the book. It's not going to show up on your screen. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son to mercy us. And he's just asking for us in return to mercy other people. But here's the key. You guys ready for this? Here's how important our faith is to know. Because you have these guys who just picked up this paralyzed man, and they take him and they go up to the roof and they tear the roof off and they drop him down. They drop it in front of Jesus. And here's what Jesus says, Luke 5:20 out of the NIV version. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said, your friend's sins are forgiven. Whoa. No. It's supposed to be my faith that my sins are good. No, his friends knew so much that if they just got him in front of Jesus, that he would be delivered. And Jesus said, dude, your faith rocks. Your understanding of my power is going to save your friend. And by the way, you do have this faith. And here's how I know this. I can't tell you how many times people have come to me and said, listen, I have my friend coming to church today. And I know that if I got him to come to church, you would share the gospel with them and they would be saved. Guess what? We're partners in this. And your faith, knowing that if you just brought them into an environment like here at Navigation Church or any other church, it doesn't matter. There's thousands of amazing churches doing this very thing that you just know if you get them in the front door, if they can just show up, that God would touch them. And it didn't happen because of their faith. It happened because of your faith, because you had something in your hand. It could have been a seed. It could have been a bucket of water. It could have been your story of hope that you so desperately wanted your friend to know. We have to hold on to this principle of faith. So here's a practical for you. Ready for this? Never say no for someone else. The easiest way to never be rejected is to never put yourself out there. So what we do is we find the reason they're probably going to say no, and we talk ourselves out of it. Never give them a reason to no. Give them a seed. Give them some water. Give them some life into the life that they're living. But here, when I say that, the practical, here's the problem. When we say no for someone else. And here's, I'm gonna slide this on the table. Nav groups, you can talk about this. If you want to type away in a discussion board, feel free. Here's what it is. Most of the times we say no for other people because of insecurities inside of us. So my question for you this is, why are you insecure about the most secure man who ever lived? What keeps us? And if you go, well, I don't know if I'll have all their answers. I said it to you once, and I want to say it to you again. The only thing the scriptures encourages you or tells you is to have a defense of the hope in you. If you have your story, you have everything that you need. And if they just keep asking questions, guess what? This is a team sport. You just go like this. Man, those are great questions. Dude, you know, those are amazing questions. Can you do me a favor? I'm going to get my pastor on FaceTime. And by the way, just, how about a heads up text? You know, just give me an FYI that this is coming, but like, find those other people, come to my nav, or be a part of this relationship, and let's not see if I can start a journey with you to help answer some of these questions. And I promise you this, your faith will be built up and all that. Which brings us to the next point, the most logical, the principle of action. It's one thing to say that you care for these people. It's one thing to say that someone's on your heart. It's one thing to say this person needs to come to church. That person needs to be saved. It's one thing to say that. It's another thing to go, hey, man, been thinking about you. I want to throw this out. These guys actually took action. And by the way, that means they picked up this paralyzed man. And you know paralyzed people in your life, maybe not physical, but emotional, spiritual, mental. They've been wounded. They've been hurt. They've been thrown away. They've been bullied. They've been robbed from. They've been lied to. All of us know paralyzed people in our life that we can pick up a mat and carry them. And by the way, I'm going to share this. And even as I'm about to share this, I'm thinking this is probably not going to be the best way to say this. And so if it's not the best way to say this, I don't know how else to say it. But think about this. So they're crawling up. And they're pulling back the roof, right? Let's just say there's a handful of guys. Stuff starts falling down. People are going, what's going on up there? And they're pulling down. And as they start lowering over, if you've ever like had to drop something over a side or a cliff, there's a moment where you start losing control of it. And this paralyzed guy is in this blanket. I wonder if one guy said this, what if we drop him? But if I was the other guy up there, here's my response. How much worse can it get? And again, maybe not the best way to say it, but at some point, the guy's paralyzed. He's allowing the world to have to take care of him. He can't fend for himself. He can't take care of himself. He's probably getting close to death because in that time, you didn't have the medical care like we do now. And at some point, shouldn't we just ask the question, how much worse can it get for them? They've lost their marriage. They've lost their job. They've lost their integrity. They've lost. At what point do we go, hey, this paralyzed person isn't going to get any worse if I take action or not? Actually, I said that wrong. If you don't take action, they're already on the road to getting worse. What keeps you from trying to pick them up? They might bat your hand away. They might say they're not interested. But at the end of the day, we need to take action. And so be wise in every way you act towards outsiders and make the most of every opportunity. Make the opportunity to invite them. Luke 14:23 says this, and by the way, this is your practical. Ready for this? Go out into the country lanes and by the hedges and urge everyone you find to come so that the house will be full. You know, it's funny, I used an example of a grocery store somewhere out in public where you just come and come and come and come. But this is a little different as far as the way this parable is actually being told. This way Jesus is saying is you're inviting people to a banquet. And so the practical is, you need to take action and just start inviting people. And I know right now you're going, well, we're not at church next week. Yes, we are. Invite them to a watch party that you're going to host through your Facebook Live. Help them download the app to see where they can set a reminder to come on and watch this. Tell them, hey, let's do a Zoom call on one screen and watch the service together on another screen. Even though you can't be at the same place, you can still have the same interaction today, and you can invite them to be a part of this. Next week, I can't imagine how many people, it's Easter weekend, and this time where people are looking for hope. Normally on an Easter weekend, 35% more people just come to church on that weekend. I can't imagine what it's going to be next week. Is there a friend or a loved one that you know that you need to care for enough that you take action to invite them? But here's the problem. The problem would be there's no one on your radar. There's no one on your mat. There's no one that you've been thinking about. So nav groups, I'm going to throw this out there. If you don't know what one of our nav groups on, again, you can find out more about this online. But as you guys get together and talk this week, as individuals talk to friends, is there one person that you could write a name on page 131? Here's the one person that I'm asking for an open door because it's a loved one that I'm compassionate, I care for, I have the faith to believe that I can take action, that they can see God. Who's that name? And by the way, if you're out there right now and there is a name on your heart, I do not want you to type this in, but just type the word yes. And if there's two people, yes, yes. Three people, yes, yes, yes. If there's more than that, just put some dots. We're with you on this one. But here's what I want to do. I'm going to be praying for all these yeses this week. And even though there's not a name there, God will know who is praying. And I want to partner with you now to pray for these yeses so that eventually we can say amen with them. And then it comes to the principle of persistence. Because sometimes if you keep going back and you keep encouraging and you keep going, sometimes difficulties can become very discouraging. But ready for this? You need to know this about your God. The Lord is not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. You have a God who isn't going to get discouraged. And for thousands of years didn't get discouraged, but set his plan into motion. And the more that I've thought about this one, the more that I've just kind of ruminated on this concept of I would get discouraged that my love, oh wait, I'd get discouraged that my loved one doesn't know. I would get discouraged that someone I'm investing in. I think discouragement should actually pop up as an indicator of a problem. Because if you're discouraged, what heart motive are you moving in, out with? Persistent love never gives up. Persistent love never stops. Persistent love is always available. Persistent love, and I would say this is the practical for you, to check yourself. Because if you're having difficulties continuing to pursue, then there's a chance there's a hidden agenda. And God, I know this sounds crazy, ready for this? Miracle of mercy. This is kind of our trajectory that we've been on through all of this. There's a chance God wants to do something in you before doing something through you. And couldn't our just amazingly creative God use this way to actually adjust something inside of us but before we bring an adjustment to someone else's life? So I just want to encourage you to look over those steps leading up to Easter between now and next week. Who is the loved one that you can start praying for, reaching out to, encouraging? And if it comes across as a sales pitch, then I promise this, they don't care what you know till they know how much you care. And how do you care for someone? You mercy them. And actually, I just want to let you know, there are so many of you watching us online right now that I don't know. I know that for a fact. Why? Because the sheer numbers that we're seeing in, I don't have that many relationships. But I know over the last couple weeks, after you have watched me do my best trying to encourage, trying to build up, trying to teach this principle of mercy, by the time we got done with our conversation, there was something inside of you that said, I want to know that Jesus he keeps referring to, the one that the men dropped the paralyzed guy in front of them that said, I release you of your sins. Could you imagine the weight that you carry all the time being gone? The shame that you are constantly burdened with? The unforgiveness that you have towards other people that God wives? Hatred is a hard job. But could you imagine there being a God say to you right now that it's time to wipe all that clean And tomorrow when you wake up, in the next moment when you take a deep breath, it's the most cleansing breath that you've ever had in your life because you know something eternal took place inside of you. That's the Jesus that I'm talking about. The Jesus, if you're hurting, if you're wounded, if you're sick, that still heals today. If you've heard me talk about it today, and if here at the end I'm explaining it kind of in a nugget shell, I have a very simple question. Do you want to ask Jesus Christ to be a part of your life? Not just a part, Lord of your life, King of your life, over your life, and you choose to start modeling your everyday actions off of a model that he gave to us. If you're here today and you're ready to say, I want to know Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior so I have the best life now as well as an eternal life in heaven, I'm going to ask you to simply say this prayer with me right now. Say, dear Jesus, today is the day that I give my life completely over to you. Forgive me of my sins. Remove those weights from me and become Lord of my life. And I freely receive the gift that your son, Jesus Christ, gave me when he died on the cross. God, I thank you for every person that said that prayer today, every life that was changed, every mind that's been altered, and every eternal soul that's forever been redeemed. God, I just ask that even as they're sitting now in their house, there could be kids running around, dogs barking, there could be someone mowing the grass next door, but all of it fades away now for them to receive the power of your Holy Spirit in their life. That they actually, it says in our scriptures, that we are made new again. God, give them a new sense of spirit, a new sense of life, a new sense of being. And for those that we have been praying for, those loved ones that we've been reaching out to, on this day, God, make an open door for us to love on them in a way that we've never been able to. Provide a way for us to give seed where there's been no platform before. Lord, where there's seed that seems to be dormant, we water it right now. And Holy Spirit, we say, make growth occur. And once again, those suffering from this nationwide lockdown, God, mercy them. I pray for the hurting. I pray for the lost. I pray for the broken. Amen. Amen. Hey, if today was the day that you gave your heart to Jesus Christ, could you just let us know? Some of our platforms, a little screen pops up for you just to simply click yes. Other ones, we need you to leave a comment. Send us a PM. Let us know that you made this decision, and I promise you, I want to celebrate it with you. Also, if you're watching on Facebook, there is a tab where it says About, and there's a little picture of some chairs and people sitting there. If you click on that, that is actually our guest card that normally you'd fill out in person, but we have it in a digital format there for you. We would love to know if this is your first time getting connected with Navigation Church, and if you do that, We sponsor a charity of the month, and we'll make a $5 donation in your name to that charity of the month. So here's great news. If you loved us, let us know, and we want to give for you. If you hated us, let us know, and you stick us for $5. Hey, it's a win-win. I can't see how this is a lose for you, but make sure to go on that About tab and let us know that you are here. And then other than that, tune in, subscribe, everything you need to do to stay connected with Navigation Church. And throughout this next week, we'll be marching towards the celebration of the death, burial, and resurrection of our Savior, Jesus Christ.